All right, fantastic. If you got a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. All right, Luke chapter 15. We are starting a series today, and a very important series. I've asked everybody for the last couple of weeks to make sure you're either here today, or if you're out of town, you tune in to today. And just simply because there's something I go over the next couple of weeks, and it begins today, so you really need to catch today. But just this thought of light. You know, today's title is Things That Are Lost, and you'll see what I mean by that in just a moment. But the thought of light, there are several metaphors in the scriptures that Jesus uses to talk about why he's here and eventually why we're here and why we exist and why we get together every week. And John kind of summed it up in 1 John chapter 1. You can just look at the screens here. He said this. He said, "This is the message we've heard from the beginning, from him, and proclaimed to you." Here it is. "That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So the whole thought here is that God is light. Okay? And then he goes on to say, "But if we walk in the light, okay, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other." So then, therefore, those who are walking in light should have a lot of agreement with each other. We just should, because we're walking in the light. And then he says something I think that's powerful, which is not the purpose for today, so we'll have to kind of skip over it, but I don't want you to miss it, at least what it means. It says, if we say, okay, that we have fellowship with him, that is, if some of us say, I have a relationship with God, all right, and we walk in darkness, then we're just simply lying. Now, I didn't say that. The scripture says that. So therefore, there should be a difference in the way that we live. But that goes beyond the point of what I want to talk to you about today. But I did want you to see it. I want you to see how critical it is. Is we can say anything we want to say, but the physical part of walking like someone who is in the light as opposed to in the darkness is the real tell of whether you're his or not, right? Anyway, we'll talk about that another time. But it says, if we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So there's a difference between those things. And guys, I can't tell you how important it is that we understand the purpose of what it means to walk in the light, but also what it means to be the light. Jesus said, he said that I am the light of the world, right? That's what Jesus said about himself. He said, I am the light of the world. But then later, he said, you are the light of the world. And he said, a city set on a hill can't be hidden, right? And he also said that nobody lights a lamp and puts a bushel over it or a bucket. But you stick the lamp up high so that it can shine light to the whole house. And then he makes this statement, let your light shine. Now, if you're his, if you walk in the light, then you can't help but shine in this world. You know, we talk about this kind of thing at Christmas Eve, and we will do so again this coming Christmas Eve. We have three components to our Christmas Eve service. You know, we have the time with the children where we talk about Jesus' birth. That's who Jesus is. We have a time of Lord's Supper or communion. That's what he came to do. But then we do the candles at the end because that's who we're supposed to be. And we darken the room and we do the candles, and you've seen it. And it says, and basically there's a picture of what light does in darkness. And that it says, let your light shine. And so we put candles above our heads, and it's amazing what that means. But here's the picture, okay? What does that look like? Because it's our responsibility of who he's called us to be. That is what this series is going to be about. It's going to be about light. What does that mean? Because I have found, guys, it's not our responsibility, all right, to if you will, be light, because he is the light within us. But our responsibility, if I look at that passage where it says, city set on a hill can't be hidden, No one lights a lamp and hides it under a bucket. So the only thing that will stop us from being light is if we hide it. If you understand what I'm saying. We'll talk more about that next week. If we hide it. They just don't hide who you are in him. And it's going to have an impact. Why? Because it has the impact. You don't have the impact. It has the impact. Light does. It's the proverbial stories. It's the lighthouse, right? For a ship that's lost. You're going to see that today's major thought is lost. But there's something about the beauty of a ship that's lost, and it looks out into a stretch of darkness, and it sees a light that it can guide itself by. And all of a sudden, despair is turned into celebration, right? On the ship, anyway. So, what does that mean? Well, I want to start off today, because we're going to talk about this every week, and every week you're going to see something a little bit different. But today, I want you to see, when you hear the term lost and found, when you hear the term lost, that's what I really want to talk to you about today. Jesus had quite a bit to say about this thought. And so it's found in Luke chapter 15, verse 1. And there are three parables we're going to talk about today. Now, there's no way that we can cover all of them in the depth that I would like to. It'd take 3 or 4 or 5 weeks to do that. But I just have really one purpose today. And remember this too, that when I share these, there'll be some of you that you've spent a lot of your life studying the scriptures, say, Jeff, you left so much out. I know. All right, I know I'm leaving a lot out, but there's a specific point of what I want you to see today, and you're going to catch it, okay? I know you're going to catch it. So you have these parables, three of them, and what I call the parables of lost things. So basically, the outline today is the parables, the meaning, and the application. So it's pretty straightforward. And number one is the parables, okay? The parables. And there are three parables that are mentioned here. And in reality, they're all three need to go together to truly understand what Jesus is trying to say. Usually the one that gets pointed out and spent time on is the last one. The parable of the lost son. But it's the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and then the parable of the lost son, which is commonly known as the prodigal son. One of the, if you will, probably the most famous or most well-known part of the scriptures, perhaps other than the 23rd Psalm. You have this incredibly beautiful story that many, even secular people who aren't even believers, says is one of the greatest short stories that has ever been written, which is true if you understand the context. But there's much more to learn from it if you look at it in its context and how it relates to these three, because Jesus told three parables back to back that all meant the same thing. So that's all I want us to do here just for a moment. Just look at these parables. I'll point a few things out and then we'll move on. But there'll be a couple of things that I just want you to see. So the first parable is the parable of the lost sheep. The lost sheep. Now, take a look at Luke. But Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Okay? Luke chapter 15, verse 1. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, that is Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, murmured, griped, complained, were critical, whatever you want to call it, that's who they were, all right? Judgmental. And here's what they said. This man receives sinners and he even eats with them. So here's the picture. The way they saw it, I mean, and the way it was in their culture, this is culturally a lot different than our culture. You have to remember that the Pharisees and the scribes were on the top of their culture. And the tax collectors and the sinners, it says there, they were way down the end. I don't have enough to tell you, but of who they'd become. But they were out and out, just lived the way they wanted to and didn't let anything get in their way of what they wanted to do and really had a pretty bad reputation. But the Pharisees were at least on the outside, were very, very godly, if you will. They lived godly lives anyway, at least on the outside. And the scribes were very educated, extremely educated. And, you know, they did a lot of translation work, also copying work, which was rare at that time. So they were kind of on the top, and people looked to them as leaders, spiritual leaders, really. And so they always remember that anybody who has a judgmental attitude of others almost always struggles with self-righteousness. Does that make sense? Because somehow you think you're better than them, so you're judging them, right? I'm not saying that's always, because sometimes there are just judgments. So this is not everybody. But most of the time, especially when it presents itself in a critical, murmuring manner, that's just self-righteousness speaking. Okay? So they thought they were better, and they were looking at Jesus, and they thought he was better too. But obviously, Jesus, you're not as good as you think you are, because you are associating with really sinful people, and you're even eating with them, which is considered unclean, which is something you can't really understand. I can't really totally understand. And so this was the accusation that they were throwing at Jesus. All right, and then what happens is, so, look at the next verse. So he told them this parable. Oh, so that's the context to all three parables, right? I'm here, okay, context is something you need to know. You don't need to know just what something says, but you need to know why it was said if you truly want to understand what's being shared. And so Jesus, in answer to this murmur, grumble, gripe, judgmental complaint that, you know, Jesus, how in the world could you eat with sinners and associate with them and have compassion on them and all the different things. And so Jesus tells these three parables in response to that. So let's jump right into it. The first of all, the parable of the lost sheep. Okay? What man of you, Jesus says, that he has a hundred sheep, if he has lost one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. If you like underlining in your Bible, underline the phrase rejoicing. There's lots of things I'd like to have you underline. You can underline lost, one of them. You can underline find, until he finds it. When he has found it, you can underline rejoicing. And then look at verse 6. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, hey, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over 99 righteous persons that don't need repentance. So you have this picture of a lost sheep, and you have this picture of a shepherd. And remember that a shepherd's most valuable possession is his sheep. And so therefore, when he loses one of them, he's going out looking, right? He's going out looking. And so you have then this picture, and Jesus kind of ramps it up as he goes. Because literally, a shepherd eats and lives with the sheep. And one of them's just wandered off, then he goes after it. And he searches and he searches and he searches. And when he finds it, you have this picture, which we have a hard time because we don't ever see it. But he actually puts the sheep over his shoulders, holds both, you know, two legs. And he goes back rejoicing, and he calls his fellow buddies together and said, I can't believe it, but I found the lost one. You know, rejoice. In other words, just celebrate. So you have this picture here of these sheep. Number two is the lost coin. It may not seem like a big deal to you, but you have to remember of the value of things like this at the time in which Jesus lived. All right? Here we go. Luke chapter 15 and verse 8 says this, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? 10 silver coins. Some have thought this to be denarii, which is denarius, whatever, is the unit of money then. And usually it was a day's wages. You got one coin for a day's wage. It's called a denarius. Some believe the silver coins were worth more than the denarius, so you're talking about maybe 10 to 20 days' wages. It really doesn't matter in Jesus' parable. What matters is that these things represented great value and represented a whole lot of work. And at a time of poverty, to lose one I mean, if we lose a coin today, nobody thinks a thing about it. But at that time, it was something that was very valuable. And so basically, when she loses it, it says she sweeps, she tears the house apart until she finds it. And look at this. When she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors saying, "Rejoice with me, I've found the coin that I had lost." Interesting. Luke 15, verse 10, look at this. "Just so I tell you that there is joy before the angels." I like the way the old King James says it here. I tell you there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, a very misunderstood verse, okay? I ask you the question. Don't answer it out loud, but just think about it. I ask you the question, all right? Who's rejoicing in that verse? All right, most people would say, "Well, the angels." That's not what it says. All right, it's not saying the angels are rejoicing. It's saying what? In the presence of the angels. "Just therefore, I tell you, there is joy before or in the presence of the angels of God." Well, question, who's in the presence of the angels of God? God is. I want you to know there's this picture of the Father celebrating in this passage by using these illustrations Jesus using of lost things, right? Lost things. Just want you to think about it a second. So as you walk down through the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then Jesus really ramps it up, you're going to understand this parable like you have never understood it before, because you're seeing it in its context and also compared to the two other ones that Jesus told. Most of the time, the prodigal son, and really, I think the better title for it is the lost son, because that follows where Jesus is going. To me, it was written for you to understand it in its context and in concert with the other two. So let's jump into it. And again, there's going to be a lot I'll leave out, but let's just read it and let you see in comparison to the sheep and the coin. And by the way, when you lose something that's valuable, okay, and we've all been there, right? And it's kind of like it's in your house, right? You've done the process of elimination, and there's nowhere else it could be. It's got to be here, right? And for me, there is one thing in most people's life that they don't want to lose if it's just an object. And there's one object that has overtaken your wallet as being the most important. Right? People would rather lose their wallets now than lose this. And we've all lost it. Every one of us, right? Now, for me, this thing never gets off of silent. Because if I take it off of silent, I'll forget about it and it'll ring in here. Right? Like some of yours ring in here. Some cheesy song from somewhere, right? And so, I mean, I don't want to be ugly, but so I never turn mine on because I'm always in a place where it goes off and I see people going, "Oh man, it can't go off now." Whew. All right, but understand this, right? So when, and it really is, it's one of those things when you lose this, all hands on deck. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then you begin combing the house. And for me, since it's always on silent, it's like, okay, call it. And then everybody be quiet. And it goes. Dzz, dzz. Y'all have all been there, right? All right. And then you know you've only got 24 hours before the thing dies on you and it won't buzz anymore. And let's say you lose it somewhere in between there and somewhere else. And again, but if you've looked for it and looked for it and looked for it, then when you find it, oh, yes, got it. However it is you celebrate. And usually you only celebrate the finding the things that are very valuable to you. And so Jesus ramps it up to the most valuable, a child, right? Now you understand where he's going with these parables. A child. I mean, he ramps this one up and talks about a lost child. In that context, let's read the parable, and perhaps you'll see some things you've never seen before. All right, take a look, if you will, in verse 11. He said, there was a man who had two sons. Now, we're not even going to talk about the second son, only the younger one. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. But nobody gave him anything. So you got this kid. You got this kid, this son, who basically disrespected his father and left. Thought he knew better, but he didn't. And he went out and squandered everything he had in just a party, right? Let's have fun. That's all that really matters. And pretty soon a famine comes up. And probably this kid even blamed God for the famine when it came up, all right? Like people do today. And, you know, interesting, he begins to go downhill. And basically he's, you know, again, you got to understand this is a Jewish context. And it's about as low as a Jewish kid can go, right? You're from a family that loves you, a family that provides for you, okay? You turn your back on all that. You go out and do what you want to do. And now you wind up being hired out to a Gentile and in the field feeding pigs. If you know anything about our Jewish friends, pigs are not kosher. So he's not only feeding them, but he's eating after them. That's as low as you can go. So in other words, I want you to hear this, is that this kid was lost. And there is nothing that frightens a parent more than a lost child. That's why this story grabs us. We've all been there. I have four. And you've been in some, it's silly, I know, but you've been in some shopping place, you know, and you got your little one toddling around, 3 years old or whatever, for her, and you get distracted just 1 second. And then you look around, and mine were girls, right? And I had one boy, but it was later, and the girls watched him like a hawk. It was hysterical. But so usually it was the girls in my family that got lost, right? Because the girls didn't let the boy get lost. But anyway, that's my own problem. So you've all been there, right? And you look down, and your kid's gone. Do you know the feeling? And panic sets in. Every part of being able to think rationally goes out the window. And you're heading and screaming, and you've got managers making announcements over loudspeakers, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, "Is this your child?" And all kinds of emotions pour out of you. And you understand just for a moment what that would be like. Because some have lost them for real. Right? So you understand the emotion. You understand the picture. You understand in these parables, what is God, first of all, what is Jesus wanting to teach these Pharisees and scribes? But the other thought is, what is God trying to teach us? Just want you to think about it just for a moment. It'll all come out pretty clear after we've finished. All right. I just want you to catch the emotion. It's really easy to talk about these things. Ah, who cares about a lost sheep? Ah, you lose a coin, it's no big deal. But it's just ramping it up for you to understand and take account of the things in your life that you value. Right? I just want you to think about it a minute. The things in your life that you value. We'll get back to that in just a minute. All right, so what happens? Well, this kid's lost as he can be. But something happens. It's an incredible thing, right? It says, if you like writing your Bible, underline the phrase, but when he came to himself, he woke up. Like the lighthouse was turned on, and all of a sudden there was a glimmer of hope in the distance amongst his darkness. Whatever you want to use to share what's being shared out of this passage, that's it. But he came to himself and it dawned on him. You ever thought about the phrase dawned on him? It was all dark and then the dawn happened and it's like, oh, whew, I can see now. It's the same concept over and over and over again, just told in a whole lot of different ways. But when he came to himself, he said to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? And here I am, I'm dying with hunger. And he came up with a plan. I will arise and I will go to my father, and this is what I'm going to say to him. So he rehearses a speech. Father, I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Father, can I just be one of your servants? I don't even have to be a son anymore. Wow. And he arose and he went to his father, right? But while, I just want you to think about this, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Now think about that for a second. How does the father see him that far off? Because the father's looking for him. Right? The father's looking for him. Now while he's still a long way off, this father looks and he sees. And he says he felt compassion. I want you to take a look at it. He felt compassion. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, you know, here's the speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven before you, and no longer would be called your son. And he stops his speech mid-sentence and he says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, the ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. There's a lot of symbolism there we don't have time to talk about. And he says, bring the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat and celebrate. Are you seeing the similarities between these three parables? Celebrate, celebrate. For this is my son, he was dead, but now he's alive. This is my son, he was lost. But now we found him. And they began to celebrate. I bet you they celebrated. In Jesus' parable, obviously. But think about it in real life. Okay? We have a hard time understanding celebrating a sheep. We have a hard time now in our culture celebrating a lost coin. If you were in their culture, you'd understand it. But we don't have a problem celebrating a lost child that was found. Right? We understand that one clearly. Now, so what is this teaching us? What is this showing us? Well, let's take a look at the meaning. Not just the parables, let's take a look at the meaning. Now, you can understand it. And the great part about this, you can line them up and see what is it the main things that Jesus is wanting you to catch here. Okay, number one, things that are valuable. Now, I think it's very important for you then to think to yourself, okay, what are the things in my life that are valuable? Okay, and I will tell you this, if the things in your life that are valuable to you now, if they can be taken away from you or if you can lose them, you will lose them. And you're talking about a traumatic event. Therefore, if those things in your life that are most valuable to you are temporary, then I like to say you're cruising for a bruising. But if the things that are most valuable in your life are eternal, right, you're on solid ground. It's just amazing how that works. But in reality, I want you to think about this for a second. The context here is not the things that are valuable to you. What's being talked about here is the things that are valuable to who the Lord is. Does that make sense? These are things that are valuable to him, not to us, but to him. That's the reason Jesus is telling us the parable. And who the father here in this particular thought represents, who the shepherd here represents, who the woman who has the gold thing represents. It has something to do, number one, with things that are valuable, and number two, things that are lost. Hence the title for today, things that are lost. And the more valuable they are to you, the more them being lost bothers you. We already know what Jesus is trying to say here. He's trying to talk about who God is and things that are valuable to him, if that can be. And you know what is most valuable to him? You are. You are. That's an incredible statement to make. and how it pains the heart to lose one that's his. All right? So we're getting kind of an inside look here at the character and the, if you will, makeup of who God is. I don't know that I'm even qualified to even say things like that. But we can take a look at this passage and understand, you know? So things that are valuable, things that are lost, here you go, things that you seek. You never seek for something that's not lost. Yeah, I went to school to be able to tell you those incredible deep insights. You only seek for the things in your life that are lost. But I love it. I love highlighting the simplistic to learn by, because I believe that most of the scriptures are simplistic because God has meant for all of us to be able to understand. Therefore, the things that you seek are the things that are lost. Therefore, you have the picture of seeking that which is lost. Number four, it's things that you find. Things that are valuable, things that have been lost, things that you seek for, things that you find. And upon finding, it's things that you celebrate. And they're all of these characteristics are a part of all three parables. The things that you celebrate. So there's a couple of things for you to learn here, okay? There are a couple of pictures in these, if you will, in these parables, especially the final parable that gives us a little more detail. Is number one is that God here is pictured really the only time in the scriptures. There are some other allusions to it, but this is really the only clear time that God is ever referred to as being in a hurry. When the father takes off down the road running, that's a picture of anyone who returns, anyone who repents and turns to him, he's there. That's the picture. And I think that's interesting too, right? Just things for us to learn, right? About who God is. The other thing is actually it's mentioned three times that God himself actually rejoices, celebrates when someone puts their faith and trust in him, when someone returns to him, when someone becomes his. I think that's pretty incredible. It's easy to celebrate. It's easy to share things. Guys, I remember at Candler Hospital, right, in Savannah, Georgia, and that first child was born to me, and, you know, and I was holding her, and I don't know, it's just one of those things that happens to you that you can't explain. And so I don't remember what happened, but I was a student pastor at the time, and we had 14 of our kids come visit in the hospital, and they just couldn't imagine that we wouldn't want them there, right? And so that's the life of a youth pastor. And I remember finally I stayed, and we got them all out, and I was heading down the elevator to go get Martha something. I was going to come back, and I was heading down the elevator, right? I'm in the elevator, and I punched the button. I'm sitting there, and there's this lady over here, right? And we're going down the elevator. I just couldn't stand it anymore. I said, my wife just had a baby. And she was nice enough. But she didn't know me from Adam's goat. And so she was nice. She said, well, that's wonderful. And I said, she's the most beautiful baby I've ever seen in my life. You know, and... And so, you know, and the lady's getting now to where, okay, let's get this elevator door open and I'm going to run out, right? But listen, when it's good news, it's easy to share. And I tell you what, if it's good news to you, you'll tell a total stranger. And, I couldn't tell you how beautiful this little baby was. And so, not that she cared, not that I cared that she cared. Y'all know what I'm saying? It was amazing. It was one of those amazing things, which is really not my personality. A lot of you have that personality. You know, you talk to people in line at the wherever, and they're like, you know. That was just the difference. You know, and I think she tolerated me for that case. But here's guys, what I want to talk to you about. Okay, who are we supposed to be? Those of us that have been found. Right? Do you realize that there was, if you're his, there was a day when he celebrated when you turned to him? Right? And that's what that means, right? So therefore, as a group, we are to be light. That's what the scripture says. We're going to talk more about that next week. I just want to talk to you about things that are lost. That's all I want to talk to you about today. And God, we've got a world around us that's lost. There's just no doubt. Which brings us to number three, the application. This is where we're going to close. What does that look like to us then? Well, scriptures have called us to be light, but in reality, it's not our light. It's his light through us, okay? So it's not something we have to go try to do. It's something that who we are. That's why it says just let your light shine and don't do anything to hide it. Just want you to hear it. We're going to get simpler next week. But here's why I wanted to start. If you are a believer here today, if you're his, man, especially if you're part of our church, but even if you're not part of our church and you're a believer here today, I want you to think in your life, and you can raise your hand. How many of you have people in your life that are lost? Just raise your hand, okay? All right, you can put your hand down. How many of you didn't raise your hand because you just don't like raising your hand? All right, yeah, I knew there'd be. There's always a handful. All right. Now, okay. If you're a believer, think about this. If you're a believer about that, there are people in your life that God has allowed you to see that are lost. And you say, well, Jeff, it's not hard to see. I know that. But they're in your life, and God's allowed you to see that they are for a reason. And the real thought there is, what does it mean to be a lighthouse light to a ship that's lost in the darkness? That becomes the great picture. What does that look like? What are we supposed to do? I don't know that there's anything we're supposed to do as far as, I think we just are supposed to shine, right? Just let it be whoever God's called us to be, and let's keep as close to him as we can, walk in the light as he is in the light, right? I think there are several things. We'll talk about that all, and we'll talk about those things all in weeks to come. But here's how I wanted to kind of do today. I wanted to start today with something of where do we begin, right? What's the first thing that we do? And personally, I think it all has to do with praying for people in your life that don't know the Lord. I really do. A person that has a heartbeat for those that are in your life. They can be coworkers. They can be a child. And maybe some of those things take our greatest heart. They can be a brother. They can be a sister. They can be a neighbor. They can be somebody you work out with. They can be the man, the guy or the girl that gives you your coffee at your coffee shop every morning. And you've gotten to know them. And God's just put it on your heart that, well, I found it's interesting to watch. We're going to give you examples through the week, but here's all I want you to do, okay? If you have a phone, okay? If you have a phone, I want you to take your phone out. And if you have a phone and you have the church app on it, this is why we've been telling you about the church app and getting it on your phone. If you don't have the church app and don't know how to do that, then Anthony will be at the Connection Center afterwards. All right? Really, I'm serious. It's not difficult, but for people who don't do that kind of stuff, it's like looking at a foreign language. It's easy when you understand the language, but it's difficult when you don't. So I got it. So we want to help you. And if Anthony's, you know, if you got one of those phones that flip over, you're probably not going to be able to do it, right? All right. Hang on, but I have a paper app for you in a moment. Okay? So if you don't have a phone, I'm not leaving you out. Just hang on there for a minute. All right. Let's do the ones that do. All right. Go ahead and go to the church app. All right. And let me go with you. And push the Indian Rocks app, right? And so what's going to come up is that go ahead and go to the next one. Click on, you'll see it come up, and you'll see the one to the far left. It's a new part of the app that we've put on there, okay? And if you notice, it says it starts with prayer. So answering the question, what do you do now, right? It all starts with prayer. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to hit that button, okay, that says it all starts with prayer. And then that'll come up, okay? If you'll scroll down, okay, then you'll see this. Now, if you'll just tap on one of those lines, then you'll see your keyboard come up where you can type in. And I'd like for you to pick out five people in your life that are lost. You don't even, may not even know their name. You can call them the coffee guy if you want. But I've just found this, that God brings people across your life that only you have contact with. Nobody else in their life has any contact as far as for this. But here's what I don't want you to do anything other than put their name down. I don't. All I want you to do is to pray for them. Okay? That's all I want you to do to start off. Okay? Now, if you don't have the phone, then the paper app. All right, open this up. Okay? If you'll take a look above the guest, what I had tear out for the guest, right? You see where it says light and it has five lines? All right, there it is. And so what I want you to do, okay, what I want you to do is it's no different. It's no different. In fact, we can get our people go ahead ready to, we're going to pass out a couple of things that'll help too. So go ahead, you guys get ready. But here's, you see the lines on here? And what I want you to do with this is like somebody would do on a phone. You put it in your Bible, you stick it in your car, you stick it in your wallet, you stick it wherever, but it has these names on it. Now here's what's going to happen, okay? If you have, well, first of all, these folks are gonna, as soon as they get ready, they're gonna start passing the offering plate. And it's, you don't have to put anything in it. I want you to take some out. They're just little stickers. Because the greatest issue is remembering. Y'all, you guys can go ahead and start handing them out. Just take one, or if you want a couple of them, you can take a couple of them. But here's the thought. All right, what's the sticker for? It's just remembrance. Okay? I have mine. I've already taken mine from when we did this last night. And it's I put it on my phone, this little sticker that just sticks on my phone. It's just a reminder. I'll tell you to remind you about what in a minute. And they're going to keep, but I just need you to keep listening to me because we're not far from being done, but I want them to be able to get done with their body. And you can stick it in a lot of places. Places that you're quite a bit. If you're in your car a lot, I had somebody tell me that they stuck theirs on the RPM thing. Nobody cares about how many RPMs you're going, right? So the sticker went right there, and you're in your car, and you remember. And here's what I want you to do. Here's what we're going to do. If you have this, then you're going to have to figure out ways to remind yourself. But once a day, here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to pull this list out, and I'd like you to pray for these people. Right? And it doesn't have to be long. 30, 45 seconds. And let's say one of your names is Bob on here. Or Susan. And the prayer just goes, Lord, God, I just pray for Bob today. God, I pray that you'll open his eyes and let him see. God, I pray, Lord, that something will happen in his life where he'll understand or see the need or whatever, but it doesn't take long. And you can just head down every one of them, right? Once a day. Now, if you had the app, here's what we're going to do. All right, we're going to buzz you every day. All right? And that, it's really not buzz you. It's just like sending you an email, right? But if you have the app, we have the ability. And we haven't used it unless it's special things like canceling a beach baptism. I think we sent that out to them. But we decided for every day, well, every day of the week, Monday through Friday, for the first 2 weeks. And it's going to buzz at noon. And most people... not all, but most people have a few minutes off in the middle of the day to have something to eat. Everybody's got 30 to 45 seconds to a minute and 15 seconds to just spending time looking and saying, Lord, God, I pray. I pray for Bob. I pray for Susan. And guys, what it'll do is it'll just get us into the habit, right, of praying for these people in our lives. Guys, that's the first step because it's not us that changes our life. You and I couldn't change anybody's life any more than we could change our own life, right? If you've ever become a believer, you know what I'm talking about. It wasn't about us, it was about him. Therefore, it still is. I found that the ones that God lays on our hearts to pray for, it's incredible. Sometimes the opportunities he'll bring across your path that you'll notice that you wouldn't have noticed if you hadn't been praying for him. Sometimes God will bring someone else across their path that hadn't had anything to do with you. All right? Again, it's not about who we are. It's about the celebration that goes on in the presence of the angels, right? And so as we think about those things, again, I'm just about to be done. We're going to build on this for the next few weeks. But that's why we've just called it light. Light, what does that even look like? And it starts with those who are lost, that God desperately wants found in this particular picture with these parables. And so I want to be a part of what pleases who God is, right? If you want to, I don't know, I mean, there's been tons of books written on that, right? What pleases God? But I know one, and this is it. There may be a lot of others, and I think there probably are. Walking in the light probably does, but I'm here to tell you, someone who repents and returns to him, I know that that pleases him to the point of celebration. I think it's who we're supposed to be about. A light of the world, as the scripture says. We'll talk more about that next week. So keep these things with you, all right? Obviously, if you have the app and you don't want the buzz every day, then just turn it off. Right? It's not a big deal. Just turn it off. But I've just found that for most people, if you're like me, when my day picks up in the morning, right? And that first buzz goes off, right? That would be the alarm, right? And I start moving. It's amazing how the end of the day can get here and I get home, eat, and am dead tired and things just skip my mind. That's why a reminder like that is helpful. It's helpful to me. So anyway, so that's just the way, again, it's what we're going to do. After the first 2 weeks, we're only going to do it every other day for about a week. Then after that, we'll probably only do it once a week. Because at the very end, we're going to do some special things with that. We're going to have another series in between, and then the Christmas series this year. Guys, there's no greater way to share the hope of who Christ is than at the Christmas time. And so pretty much everything we're going to do at the Christmas time, I'm just going to share of what God's message to the world is, what the gospel is, right? I don't know. It's pretty neat. I'm really looking forward to this. And if you're not with us today and you're at home, then obviously you can download the app and do the different things. If you don't know how to do the whole app thing, Anthony will be out at the Connection Center. I mean, he's kind of had a crowd around him all day, last night and today. So if you need any help, it's all there. But just as I close today, to me, I don't know if there's anything that excites me more than this. Guys, everything we're going to do around here, I just want you to hear me. Everything we're going to do. If you have a connection group, that connection group every week is going to start out, right? But hey, get your list out, guys, and let's pray. If you are at our Wednesday night dinner, and they say the blessing, they're going to stop and say, hey, guys, get your list out. Let's pray for those people. If you're at our school and a teacher at faculty meetings, anything that starts out with prayer around here, every staff meeting I do, it's all going to be for the next few months about this. Lord, pull up those lists, and Lord, let's just pray for those people in our life that need. It's just, you'll be amazed at what it does for you. You'll be amazed at the eye that it gives you to be able to notice. It's incredible how it works. I can't tell you how excited I am about this coming series. All right, God bless you. Let's all stand. We'll have a closing word of prayer. Come on up, Jim. Why don't you close us? And I'm going to head to the guest reception. And remember, guys, when you really think about it, a baptismal service at the beach is a celebration. Does that make sense? You're celebrating people who have returned. That's why you have it. And so it's not to be a solemn atmosphere, it's to be a celebrative atmosphere. So if you can be there tonight, if you need to be baptized, obviously head to the tables after the service. But I encourage you to be there because I think it's great. It's important to support those that are becoming part of our church who are making such great and big decisions. All right. God bless you guys, and have a great rest.